Church, kindergarten through sixth grade. If you want to head out, you can. There they go. All right. 4th of July weekend. I hope y'all had some barbecue, or anybody's going to barbecue today. Nobody? I was trying to see where I was going this. No? All right. We're actually barbecuing today. When we lived in Virginia, they called it grilling there. Like, we're going to grill. I was like, what's that mean? You mean barbecue. Anyway, so it's just one of those things that we love to do here in America, right? Let's see. How many of you do hamburgers and hot dogs for 4th of July? Steak? Yeah? How many of you do pork steak? Because that's what you can afford. Chicken? Come on, y'all chicken guys. Y'all better put your hands up. There you go. That's the good. And so my favorite is to have everything. Mine's to have hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken, steak, just have it all out there and have a bunch. Yeah, that's the way I like it. And then you just have a plate of meat. Any meat eaters, huh? I'm rich. Well, no, that's only on the 4th of July. All right, and you can't use that. Look, otherwise you cook a little bit with that charcoal, that little bit of meat right there, and that charcoal just goes to waste. But if you cook all of it, you can put it in a refrigerator and have it for a week. Anyway, so I do digress. But 4th of July is one of those weekends that we celebrate. It's kind of one of those things where people are traveling. Y'all be praying for those people that are traveling. All the ones who showed up today that wasn't your day to help welcome, thank you for coming today. We had to call all forces today because we had people traveling all over the place. Y'all be praying for our family, our church family, as they travel. And remember, if you travel, that's great. We want you to travel. We want you to have make great memories, but while you're out, find a church to go to. If nothing else, you can hear some good preaching for that Sunday instead of here. But whatever, go to a church, make memories, go on vacation, have a good time. We're going to continue in our sermon series, Red Letter Days, talking about what Jesus said about the last days. We're going to start in Matthew 24 today. We're going to be in Matthew 24 for quite a few Sundays before we come back. And in the sermon series with some parables that he used to talk about the last days. And we want to know what Jesus said. Now, we could have gone to Daniel, Revelation, some other places in Scripture, but we wanted for this sermon series just to focus in on what Jesus said. And probably the place where most people would, I guess, bear down here is in Matthew 24, because he really spends some time talking about what's going to happen in the last days. Now, we're going to cover two verses, and then we're going to go to another part of the Scripture today. So if you want to go ahead and put your finger in Romans 1, we will turn to Romans 1 in just a few minutes, okay? Last week, when we started to talk about the end days and what would happen, and I mentioned in the message about just as people were going to be deceived and the deception would increase. And then later we see in Thessalonians that there would be an increase in this deception. And in Matthew here 24:24, it actually says the false prophet, if he could deceive the believers of the elect, that they would be deceived. Okay? And so we talked about that and I had some questions. And so I thought I would spend a little bit of time on what it means to be deceived. Because in Matthew 24, starting in verse 3, it says this, Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives. Their disciples came to him in private. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of the end? So what should we look for? And Jesus first responds with this in verse 4. Jesus answers, keep watch, be careful that no one fools you or no one deceives you. Now he's going to go on and talk about false prophets, but the very first thing he says about the end of times is that we must be careful, we must be on watch, that no one will deceive us. So what is the very beginning of the sign? What is the sign? I put in this. What's the sign of the sign? You ever seen that? If you're traveling, you'll know what I mean. You're looking for the sign for the sign. You're looking for a sign that says, "All right, there's going to be an exit in 3 miles," and so you're really looking for the exit sign, but you really want that confirmation before you get there. Because I've seen some of you drive. you're all the way over here on the left lane, and you go across three lanes to make that exit. Anybody? Yeah. Grace, you've never done that? I don't believe it. Okay, I could see. Anyway, so but you're looking for that sign so you could be in the right place so that when the real sign says exit whatever, 52, you can exit 52, right? Because if you're in the wrong spot and the exit comes, you are going to try to run all the way across those lanes, and there's going to be a problem. So what is the sign of the sign? And what we see here is deception. The first thing that we need to look for is deception, and not just this deception, but an increase in deception. An increase as people, more and more people, are being fooled. Now, we all can have our opinion of what it means to be deceived. Yes? You remember, our opinions mean nothing. Only Scripture matters, okay? And so we need to look into the Scripture to define what deception is. And the place in Scripture that best helps us understand what deception is and how we can be deceived is Romans 1. So if you'll turn there now. Okay, so our sign for the sign, what should we be looking for to know that the time is coming to an end? We need to be in the right place. We need to be doing the right thing. We need to make sure, last week we talked about our lamp. We need to make sure our lamp is ready. We need to have the extra oil. Where do we need to be? In order to know that, we need to be watching for this deceit. And what is deceit? Romans 1 tells us. Romans 1 really talks about how sin comes into our lives. And this is the deception. Sin is what deceives us. Would you agree? This is yes. This is no. Yes. Sin is what deceives us. The Word of God will never deceive us. The Word of God is truth. And so sin, our sin nature, and the influences of of sin, you think about Satan, demons, our flesh, all those things, those influences working with us, working with sin, is going to lead us into deception. So Romans 1, and if you look at verse 21, we see the first thing. It says, they knew God, but did not honor Him as God. They didn't thank Him. Their thinking became worthless. Their foolish hearts became dark. The first sign, the first step, really, that we see here of deception is that they would claim that there is a God, but they're not going to honor Him as God. Like, there's a God. Yes, I believe that God is there, but living according to the Word of God, now that's a little far. Yeah, I know there's a God, but I'm not going to honor Him as God. I'm not going to honor His Word. I'm not going to honor His truth. I'm not going to honor His people. I'm not going to honor His church. There's a God, but I'm not going to honor Him. They didn't thank Him. Another step or another place of deception is we get to a place where we think that where we are in our life, in our lives, we got there on our own. Like, my understanding, my cunning, my intelligence, my ability, I'm where I'm at in my life because I'm just that good. So there's a God. I'm not going to honor Him. I'm not going to thank Him. I don't have to thank Him because I don't have anything to thank Him for, because everything I have, I've gotten on my own. Their thinking became worthless and their hearts became dark. Now, let's look at the culture that we live in. Do we start to see, or we're starting to see, this deception in our culture around the world? Not just America, because sometimes we just take this, the signs of the end, and we think, if it's happening in America, that's the most, that's, look, the Scripture's not written with America in mind, okay? It's really written first with Israel and then the whole world. But in the world, do we see this? Do we see an acknowledgement of God with no honor towards God? And we're starting to see this. Yes, that's absolutely true. There are revivals in certain parts of the world. People are coming to Christ. This is great. But then another large part of our culture, a large part of our world, is in what's called the post-Christian era. They're a post-Christian nation. That means after Christianity. They feel like they have gotten past that. They don't have to lean on these teachings anymore. They are at that place where that, yes, there's a God, but I don't have to rely on Him. I don't have to honor Him. Are we at this place? Later it's going to talk about there are people who brag, people that are really this arrogance. They don't have to thank God. Or is our world in a place that we believe as a world that we've gotten to this place of prosperity, this place of intelligence, this place of significance on our own backs with our own ability? Yes, absolutely. Even in small things. Like when we tell our kids, and it's just because we've got to be careful. It says, don't let anybody fool you. We kind of start to flow down these veins. We tell our kids things like, you can be anything that you want to be. You ever heard that? You ever said that? It's not true. It's not true. God's made us all different for certain things. And what we need to be teaching our kids is, what has God made you specially for? What is He calling you to? Like, and why do you have ADHD? Because that's what I have, you know, and everybody's like, why? Why do you have that? There's a reason God has allowed this to be in your life, and there's something that God's going to use. And maybe you're not as physical. Okay, look at me. You can be anything that you want to be. I want to be an NFL defensive lineman. Is it possible? Come on. Is it possible? Y'all can say no. You're not going to hurt my feelings. No. God didn't build me for that. It's a lie. It's a deception. And it's so easy for us to walk into. What we should say instead is, what has God made you for? What is God going to lead you into? How can I, as a parent, how can I lead you in the ways you should go? How should I bend you, train you in the ways that you should go? This idea of bending and shaping, you know, y'all know I like to garden, so can't go without talking about that a little bit. I have some trees that I train, and I train on a plane, okay? So I only let it grow, let's say, like east to west, okay? North to south gets pruned, or it gets tied to a wire. Because I want it so I can walk down the aisles, okay? After about 2 years, I can undo the wrapping. I actually have a tape gun. I can undo the tape, and the branches stay exactly where they were or where they are, because they have been trained in the way they should go, and now they won't depart from it. Get me? So there are certain trees you can prune and you lay those branches out horizontally. There's other trees that if you lay those branches out horizontally, they're going to die. So really, it's more like a fan. So it's, let's say, about a 45 degree. So you have 45 degree. And you can't train the ones that need to be horizontal, like an apple tree needs to have a horizontal branches. If you do the 45, the branches break. You didn't train it in the way it should go. And so as we look at this and we think about that and we think about what God's showing us here, it's this idea of us, hey, I don't have to thank Him for anything because I can be anything that I want to do as long as I work hard enough. And that's not what God wants for us at all. He wants to train us in the way that we should go and the way that we're built and made. And now we as parents can say, what we want for you is to live a godly life, not a prosperous life. We've fallen into the trap of being deceived, thinking that our children should live the American dream instead of the Christian life. So in Romans here 1 and 22, it says, because of this, they claimed to be wise, but they made themselves fools, or made fools of themselves. They thought they were wise. Like, I got this. Man, that's such good parenting advice. I'm going to encourage. You can be anything you want. And that's a foolish statement. I can do all this by myself and my own ability. It's a foolish statement. We can bring peace to this world through our own efforts. That's foolish. When you depart from God, these things that we so want in our lives are not possible. We claim to be wise, but we're fools. Can you think of some people right now that live in this world that they think they are wise, but anytime they talk, you laugh because it's just that foolish? Because they're deceived. They departed from the Word of God and from the mission of God, from the truth of God. And so now when they talk, they are relying on their own understanding. They're on the, in the place of judges where everybody does what they think is right, what their hearts believe is right, and our opinion doesn't matter. And so now all of a sudden, they're just foolish, contradictory, laughable. At 24, now go back and read all this. We're going to skip just a few verses just for time's sake. But in 24, the deception, it goes this way. It says, so God let them go. He allowed them to do what their sinful hearts wanted to do. So as we're going down this path of deceitfulness as a culture, there will be a time that God turns us over to ourselves. He removes the restraint, the discipline, the conviction, and turns us over to our own hearts because that's what we want. And it says, he let them commit sexual sins, and they made one another's bodies impure by what they did. I want you to think about our landscape. And God lets a culture go, lets a person go, lets a country go. Would you say that we know as a world, as a culture, do we understand who we are sexually according to the Word of God, or have we departed far from it? Very far from it. And I know you can say, well, that's true for lots of cultures in different places all over the world, all throughout history. Yes, but so much now, it's so far. People don't even know who they are. They don't even know what to call themselves anymore. They're confused in their own definitions. That's the reason definitions change really almost weekly. Because they're so deceived, they're trying to find the truth, but they can't find truth in what they've relied on. So now they've got to redefine what they're doing and try to, I guess, prop up their lies that they've believed, this deceit that they've believed. And so now they have new words and they have new understandings and new definitions. I mean, as a culture, we've become so wise we can't even define what a woman is anymore. I mean, as a culture, I can, but as a culture, they can't even define what a woman is. If you want to be entertained, go online today, YouTube, and go watch, put in, what is a woman, and watch people try to explain it. Further down, here in this passage, 25, 26, it even says they abandon the natural. We've talked about this, homosexual relationships. They abandon what God wanted for them, what God has designed for them, designed their bodies for. And as a world, we have departed from that natural. And it gets weirder and more strange all the time. When I say strange, further from what has traditionally been a marriage or relationship, one man, one woman, it's departing from that. And it's so muddy now that the ones who say they're wise here in 22 have proven themselves to be fools. And then it says, okay, the deception goes further. In 29, it says they're full of every kind of sin. So let's talk about this. It says they're evil and ungodly. So evil and ungodly. What does that look like? We can say that. Sometimes we have this opinion, but really you have to compare it to the Word of God. So how are they evil and ungodly? They want more than they need. Would we say we live in a culture, a world of excess in most countries? Yes, there are some countries this is not true, but there are several countries, lots of countries, that we have way more than we will ever need. And we want more. It's strange, the countries that have the most want more than the countries that don't have anything. They have very little. The countries that have very little, a lot of times they are more content in life than we are that have more, because we want more. We're not content in who God is. Why is this a sin? Because we're not content in Christ. We think for joy and happiness, we must have Christ, we must have Jesus, plus all these prizes and gifts and houses and cars and boats and whatever else. I always wanted a jet ski. I don't know why, but I would kill myself on a jet ski. I would love every minute of it, though. Anyway, so we want all these things. And it's not ceasing. Like, it's not slowing down. We have higher debt in the United States and really around the world than we've ever seen, and that continues to increase. It's not slowing down. We don't have the money, but we're still buying the stuff. It says they commit murder. Would you have ever thought that some of you are older, but as you, some of you that are about my age and younger, would you have ever thought that, like, murder would be a weekly occurrence in our area? Around the world? That we would hear about one culture or one people group trying to wipe out another people group, like, that's a rarity. Like, that used to be huge news. Now we hear about it all the time. Some of you are like, well, that's because we have better access to news. I agree, that's some of it, but I also see that there's an increase. Kids 12 years old carrying around fully automatic weapons. Used to, we would protect kids and women as a world. We would protect them. Murder, as the deception increases, murder increases. We want what belongs to other people. Man, as I read this and thought about this, I was like, man, how does that play out for us? And it plays out this way in our culture, and I can see this in other places, that we put up or we put people that have all these things on a pedestal, and they have houses and cars and man, they have everything, and we go, I wish I could be them. So much so that we become discontent or uncontent with what our lives are. Like, it's not that, so I'm not happy. I want what they have, and until I get what they have, I won't be happy. But then you have here where Paul goes, I've learned to be content when I had more than enough and when I didn't have enough. I've just learned to be content in whatever situation God has put me in. And this is why this is wrong. Wanting to be, we shouldn't want to be like anybody but Jesus. We should, like he's the one that has more than enough for all of us. The treasures that he has should be the treasures that we want. But our culture continues to lift those people who have more
higher and higher and higher and say, look at this person, look what they have, you should want this. And people are aspiring to be like these people more and more and more and more instead of trying to aspire to be like Jesus.
They fight and cheat. If I get another call telling me that my Amazon package that I didn't order can't be delivered, or that I owe a $3 toll from Florida that I hadn't been to, you can't tell me that the idea of cheating people, stealing, and this idea of fighting has decreased. It is on the increase. And then the hate for others. Man, this is one that really sticks out to me. Deceit, hatred for other people. This group hates this group. Now, I know it's been around, okay? It's been around, and you think about, especially racially, throughout history, this. But we're now not just talking about race, okay? You still have races, and we're talking about the world, not just the United States, but the world. We have this race that hates this race, but not only that, we have this political party that hates this political party. We got this person that stands on this belief that hates the group that is on this belief. And it's so much so that we don't have arguments anymore. We're going to the back to the little further up. It says they were fighting. Now we're fighting in the streets over an issue. And that fight, when we fight amongst each other, I mean really fight, like hand-to-hand combat, when we're fighting, it's not going to solve anything. We're just out of control. We're out of control. The deceit is rampant. The enemy wants us to hate one another. And then it says, they say mean things about other people. Man, I tell you what, social media has made this easy, hasn't it? Used to, we were taught, if you don't have anything nice to say, what? Don't say anything at all. Now, it's don't say it to their face, just write it on Facebook. Don't name them by name, be passive aggressive. I'm never going to say anything bad about anybody, but that guy that lives on 4th Street, the 5th house to the right, the one with the red door, he's sorry. That's what we do now. Pretty passive aggressive. Saying mean things about one another. And not just these mean things, you're going to have to go with as you're doing this. These false accusations, it's nothing for you to hear false accusation around the world and for it to be made publicly known very quickly. True or false, it doesn't matter. Scripture says by 2 or 3 witnesses, yeah. But here, it could just be taken and run and ruin someone. We like to see people rise, but we like to see them fall harder. Verse 30, they tell lies about them, what we're just talking about. And then as the deception increases, not only do they say that there's a God, but they don't acknowledge Him as God, it just gets to the place where they hate God. Later in Matthew 24, as we look at it, it's going to say, hey, the world's going to hate you because they hate me. Right now, people hate God. If you don't believe me. Now, some of us are like in this bubble here in South Mississippi, and you know, we're still in a culture, like this little subculture here in the Bible Belt, where we hadn't experienced this post-Christian culture yet. We hadn't experienced the full-on hate of God yet. We hadn't seen that. But around the world, people hate God. People hate Jesus. They hate the idea of who He is. They will go to blows. They will kill you. They will imprison you. They hate the idea of who Jesus is, and this is increasing. It's increasing in our country also. They are rude and proud. I don't know about you, but man, this is rude and proud. I'm most important, and because I'm most important, I can be rude to you. Because I'm most important, it doesn't matter if it puts you out as long as I'm taken care of. Because I'm most important. We see this with countries. We see this with people around the world. this deception has started to continue to increase in our minds that I am the most important. That as long as I'm taken care of, it doesn't matter if anybody else is taken care of, as long as I'm taken care of. It doesn't matter if it's good for the whole world. It doesn't matter if it's good for the culture. As long as it's good for me, I'm okay. And with that same idea, it says they brag. So they're rude and they're proud because they are their own gods. They're the most important. They hate God because God is against them because he resists the proud. So God's against them. And so they're an enemy to God. Why? Not because God hates them, but because they hate God. And they're rebelling against them. And so now they brag. Why do they brag? Because they have to have something to worship. And their bragging is the worship of themselves. Look at who I am. Look at what I've done. And I mean, I don't know. I get sick and tired of hearing people on the news talking about how great they are and what they've done. I don't even watch news hardly, maybe once or twice a week anymore. Anybody get wore out by the news? I don't care what channel you watch. They all wear me out. Because they all right and everybody else is wrong and they brag on themselves. And it's these things that we're talking about here. Look at me. They think of new ways to do evil. That's the truth. When you think you've seen it all, there's something worse. I've seen something worse all the time. Like, I will never see that, and then you see it. They're thinking of new ways to do. They don't obey their parents. Now, I will say that this isn't all on the kids. This is on all of us as a culture. It's on parents too. Some of it is that, let's just put it out there clear, okay? Because a majority of families don't have a father in the house. And really, the father is the priest, the pastor of the family. He's the authority of the family, and the kids don't have that authority there, and so they rebel because they know something's not quite right. And we as a culture don't come alongside those single moms enough to help fill that gap. And so now they don't obey their parents. They don't understand. Man, I love this one. I shouldn't say I love it, but it helps me. Because sometimes when I'm talking to somebody that's an unbeliever and I'm talking and they're just looking at me like they don't understand, I feel stupid. Anybody ever been there? She's like, I feel like I'm speaking some other language. And I'm explaining it just as clear as possible. And they go, huh? What? And I think, and so I break it down. But they just don't understand. They can't understand because they are their own God. They brag. They can't understand how someone could do something for other people. Like how Christ could die for the whole world if he's all powerful. They don't get that, because if they were all powerful, they would use that power to benefit themselves. They don't get it because they're their own God. They don't understand how they can remove themselves, as Bill Bright would say, from the throne of their heart and allow Jesus to have his rightful place on the throne of your heart. They don't understand that. They can't be trusted. They're not loving and kind. And then finally, it gets to this last part in Romans 1:32, and we'll be done. It says, they know that God's commands are right. They know those who do evil things should die. But they continue to do those very things. They also approve of others who do them. This is talking about religious people. The deception of the religious. This would be us. So we've talked about the deception of the people that aren't religious, are not believers, the people that are far from God, the people probably here, as we started here in 21, going through 31, these are the people that they're not pretending at all. They're just letting it all out there. I hate God. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to live the way that I want to. I'm my own God. But in 32, it's a little bit different. It says, they know that God's commands are right. Now we're talking about religious people. they know that those who do evil things should die. We're talking about religious people. I'm not talking about believers. I'm talking about religious people. But they continue to do these very things. They also approve of others who do them. What very things? The things that we talked about above. The telling of lies. The looking about how great I am. The proud, the braggart, the ones who live in sexual immorality, having sex outside of marriage, homosexual relationships. All these things that are going on that we just talked about. It says that these people at the end, the deception, okay? So the deception, the end of deception here is that the religious people, those that claim that God is right, will look at the world and say, it's okay that you live in sin. In fact, I'm going to challenge a few of you. You can look at this list, and we should pray for our leaders, okay? We should pray for our leaders. But if you look at this list, some of us have placed, placed our president in the place of our God. And if you look at these things, our president, he does a lot of these things. He brags, talks about how great he is, if it's good about for him. And we've replaced our God and said our president is our God. It's something like this in our life, like Jesus and Donald Trump. And now you can see how easy it is to be deceived, because a lot of us will go to bat for him. Yeah, he's like that. He's a bragger. He brags a lot. But, you know, he's a good Christian man. Let's just get it straight. He's not a Christian guy. He doesn't act Christian. I agree with a lot of things he does, but he don't act Christian. And the world leader like him, even more deceitful than him, will come along and deceive religious people, as we see in Matthew 24. It says, don't be deceived by the false prophet. And we're going to be cheering, or when I say we, the church, will be cheering the false prophet on. He's the greatest thing ever, and in the whole time, the false prophet in Revelation talks about he's going to have the appearance of a lamb, but the voice of the dragon. He's going to look Christian, yet he's going to speak words of murder and of fighting and of hate and of braggadocious. He's going to be speaking lies, and the whole time he's going to look godly, and we're going to be like, oh, yeah, he's godly. Yeah, we got to support him. And sometimes, yes, as a people and a nation, you have to vote for the lesser of two evils. I get that. You will always vote for the lesser of two evils unless Jesus is running. You'll always vote for the lesser of two evils, okay? Sometimes you just have to vote every time you vote for the lesser of two evils, because both parties and both people and whoever else is running are evil, because we're all evil. And you want to vote for the lesser of those. But never be fooled by a leader who claims to be Christian. Watch their actions and how they present themselves. Watch their actions and how they present themselves, how they treat other people. And do they do what's right for them, or do they do what's right for other people? Because this is the end that he's talking about. If you go back to Matthew 24, it says, at the end, be careful, watch. And then it goes on, there's going to be people that say they're the Messiah, and they're not. There's going to be these false prophets. There's going to be these people that say they're the leader of the world that can bring peace and hope and all the things that we want. And these leaders can never do that. Only Christ can do that, that works through them. That works through them. Now, I get it. Some people are going to be really angry today and be like, yeah, that's my man. And if that's where you are, I would challenge you with this. I would challenge you with this. You should never 100% agree with anybody. Except for Christ, of course. If you 100% agree with anybody, there's a problem.
because the Holy Spirit in you should show you and convince you and bring conviction into your life where that person has sin in their life and where y'all cannot agree. Everybody I know I disagree with. I live with all of my family. I've lived with my family for a long time now. Me and my wife have been married for a long time now, and we don't always agree. And just because we don't agree doesn't mean that we don't love one another and doesn't mean that I don't support. It just means we're both wicked people living in a wicked world trying to follow Christ with all of our heart, but we will not agree with each other 100% of the time. And so if there's anybody in this world that you agree with 100% of the time, then you need to examine yourself because you are being deceived. That's the only way you drink the Kool-Aid is if you're deceived. Now, this is what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that any leader is the Antichrist right now that I know of. I'm not saying that we shouldn't support the leadership that's in place. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying policies that are in place are right or wrong. I'm not saying any of those things. I just wanted to confront us because there are many people who place more faith in a president than they've ever placed in the Messiah, in the only one that can bring hope. The only one. Some of us have placed more confidence and faith in a political party than we have ever placed in the church or in Christ. And that's a problem because that's how the Antichrist really here, we see Matthew 24, that's how he's going to come in as a false prophet. Because we've placed our faith in all the wrong things. So what do we look at today, red letter days? Don't be deceived. Look at a person. Examine them. You're always going to have to, again, vote in the United States, vote for the lesser of two evils. That means every person, no matter who you vote for, in the future, if you have to vote for 100 different presidents, that's a long time. That's what, 400 years, you won't do that. But if you had to, every time it's going to be the lesser of two evils because neither one of the men or women will be good because there's only one that is. Because otherwise, what happens? And I heard this illustration just a few years ago, and it kind of broke my heart that the churches in Germany, as they saw the things that were happening with the Jewish people, and as they heard the cries on Sunday of them being rounded up, the churches decided the best way to do or to deal with that was to sing louder to drown out the cries of the ones who were in need. To ignore the problems. To ignore the places where as a country we could be more godly. Ignore the faults, the wickedness in the leader. And just sing louder. And if we're talking about the end days, again, the end days, there's going to be a leader that shows up. And in Matthew 24, 24 says, if he could deceive the believers, he would. Man, he's going to have everybody fooled. Hook, line, and sinker. There's going to be people that you know, if he comes during this time, while you're on, there's going to be people that you know and love that are going to be good church-going people. That are going to be all of, and anytime you say any negative, they're going to be on you. Be careful.
that you're not fooled. Be careful that you're not fooled. Our hope will never be in a political person, will never be in a government. I know we celebrated the 4th of July. I love the country that we live in. But this is not my hope. This is not my hope. Man, this is not even my home. I'm a citizen of a land to come and a king that will sit on a throne. That if he speaks truth and he speaks with power, and the enemies will fall at his feet and he will bring peace. He will bring unity. That's my hope. And if there was anybody on or anybody else in the White House today, I would tell you the same. No matter what party, no matter what political background, no matter what their beliefs are, no matter where they stood on anything, I would tell you the same, that they are just a wicked person. Now, if they're a believer, they've been redeemed, but our flesh still leads us to that direction. They're still flawed. There will be one. And that's why we get so excited about the return of Christ. There's going to be one that's not. One that deserves our worship. One that deserves our loyalty. One that we can fully trust. And his name is Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's the one. So what is our red letter word for today? What do we need to make sure that we do as we see the end of time coming? We see a sign that says your exit's just 3 miles up. Which lane should we get in? Here's the lane that we put our faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, not in a party, not in a person, but in Jesus Christ. Church, I'd ask that you would stand. And the altar call is going to be a little bit different today. The scripture says, even though we don't put our trust in these leaders, that we put our trust in our Christ. And we see the deceit of the evil one, the deceit of sin spreading across this world. We're seeing the deceit, the deception is increasing. It's showing that the end of time is coming. Here is what we need to pray. Two things. One, that whoever it is God's placed on your heart to share the gospel with, that you would pray for them. And the second thing I would ask that you do is that you come and pray for our leaders. That you come and pray for those that represent us and our government, our judges, our presidents, all those that are in Congress. That they would be influenced by the one, Jesus Christ, the one. That they wouldn't fall into the deception. And that we would pray that they would follow him and they would repent from the things, just like we pray for ourselves, that they would repent for the evil things that they've done, the evil thoughts that they have, the beliefs that are against his word, that they would repent. The altar is going to be open for those two things, that you would come and pray for whoever it is God has in your heart to share the gospel. And number two, that we would pray for our leaders. Not that we put our faith in them, but that they would put their faith in Christ. Lord Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that we have a way to